between the life we see and the world we dream, there are stories when they are told. Nightmares become imagination. So please.
Thomas, you aren't.
Hello to the guild. One ending is just another nightmare beginning. Welcome to the Dim Light Anxiety Podcast. I am your host, Giggles, and you are not going to believe it. Well, maybe you will, since we deal with the unbelievable things on this podcast, but that's besides the point. So, I had an attack of the drain monster. I was just minding my own business, typing up this story, to be exact, when I hear a gurgling sound coming from my bathroom. Oh, my upstairs neighbor was taking a shower, so of course my apartment flooded the entire time. I tried to knock when they were in the shower because it was beginning to soak through like the 5 towels and 2 bath mats already had down. I had no more defenses, but I understand that, you know, when you're home alone, you can't always hear, let alone answer a knock, especially when you're in the shower. So I let it go and focus on just getting approval from my landlord to call a plumber. Then my neighbor flushes, and my pipes make the sound of a roaring beast blowing chunks. So, knowing that they were, you know, obviously up there, I mean, dogs don't flush, and in a less compromised position, I knocked and rang the doorbell. This time, I rang the doorbell just in case they couldn't hear the knock. I mean, to clarify things, I may not hear a knock because it sounds like the people walking around sometimes, but I definitely hear not only my doorbell, but if my neighbor has a doorbell ring, I mean, I hear it almost like it's my own. Anyway, that bitch straight up acted like they weren't home. I wasn't mad about the flooding. It was by no means their fault for living like a normal human being in their apartment. I just wanted to tell them, you know, what's going on. Hey, maybe, you know, don't use your restroom for a bit. But I know. You can't see it, but I guess I just have one of those really intimidating faces. Everyone hide! Giggles is outside! Oh, and it took like 9.5 hours for the plumber to finally show up. I mean, partly because it's a holiday weekend, but whatever. These were hours I had to wait at home with no access to a toilet so they could be let in. But, I mean, fixed my toilet in ways I can't even tell you. That sounded very dirty, and it wasn't that way. Not that I would have opposed, but anyway, on top of everything else, I have had fans blowing since yesterday. They, like, literally left 2 hours ago. Oh, so loud. I couldn't stand it. I mean, you know, because that made recording particularly difficult. To my one listener out there, I want you to know how much I really appreciate you hanging in there with me. Honestly, if it weren't for you, I probably would have given up on this a long time ago. Thank you for laughing when we get scared together. I mean, together we have discovered that we all have anxiety when the lights grow dim. However, I am still open to hearing your creature creations and hauntings and anything else your nightmares build. After all, nightmares are a terrible thing to waste. Email any scary stories you wrote on your very own to dimlightanxiety@gmail.com. From campy to where did everyone go? Scary. I want to hear them all because your fucked up brains came up with them. Which leads me to ask one more time, what's your story? All right. Now that I have wetted your whistle with the tale of the drain monster, let's move on to why we are all here. The story to finalize this amazing run of terror tales was written by your host. Hey, that's me. Giggles. Man, I'm really going to miss having an outlet for my stories. Who knows? Maybe that will be my encouragement to start again one day. But before we start, let's revisit where we left off in our story. Walking into the bathroom, she saw her name in the same red writing on the envelope propped against the mirror. Her hands trembled as she tried to open it, slipping and slicing her fingers a bit, and she rushed it to her lips. Not before a tiny drop landed on top of those scrawled letters. The reds mixed together. She checked the cut and noticed the bleeding had stopped. She continued to remove the note. The same question as before. Do you know what's going on? She went to toss it in the trash can. She refused to waste any more time on it before she could let it go. The darkness crept in from the corner of her eyes again. Are you dying to find out what keeps causing our host of horror to pass out? And who keeps leaving those notes? And of course, that always elusive why. Because after all, do you know what's going on? Here's our chance to discover the truth. Submitted for the approval of the Guild with Dim Light Anxiety, I call this story The Tale of the Horror Host, Part 2. I know I said Part 2 and that's the title of this, but technically, the way it was written, this is actually part 2 through 4 in the format. So I wonder if you can figure out where the breaks are. The police believed her. I mean, she had the proof. She didn't just make it up. But after over a month of no sightings of the red Buick, no notes, just crickets, they stopped checking into it and her. Somehow her fans found out. She received several messages ranging from supportive to abusive. One fan, however, reminded her of a story she told when she first started. It actually lined up exactly to what she was going through. Only, the message was different. She couldn't remember who wrote it, though, or how it ended, come to think of it. She jumped on her phone and started looking through her backlog of stories. The tale was submitted by someone with the handle They're Watching. She remembered thinking that it was strange there weren't any numbers behind such a common name. When she went to look up the profile, it no longer existed. Like, someone still had the name, but the profile was completely blacked out. She couldn't find any information about the owner at all. That was not really the worst part of this walk down memory, more like nightmare lane. She remembered why she chose the story. The ending described the victim as being gutted like a deer. She appreciated the hat tip to her favorite serial killer, Ed Gein. It definitely didn't seem so clever now. After over a month of not sleeping, she finally felt mild relief in knowing there was a resemblance of a plan. She called her publicity manager and asked her about going through any fan mail with that tag name. She said she would take a look. While going from the bedroom to the bathroom, she saw something dart across the hallway. She really needed sleep. She didn't even realize her arm dropped from the surprise, leaving the phone at hip level. She barely heard. Hey, Karen, are you still there? Hello? the publicity manager asked with concerns. Hey, yeah, sorry, just, the phone slipped. I guess I need some sleep. That's fine. Please let me know what you find. Thanks again. As she was hanging up the phone, she saw the same shadow dash back to the bedroom. She put the phone down and walked into the bedroom. She didn't see anything, but the window was open. Of course, sitting outside was the owl. She slammed the window shut and locked it. It was definitely locked before. Everything in the house was. She checked religiously after the last incident. What was in here, George? She had named the owl because it seemed right if he was going to live so close to her. George made him feel a little less threatening. George just doing George things. Her cat suddenly came up and rubbed against her legs. She almost stomped that cat into oblivion. It made her jump so high. Her nerves are shot. Even signs of affection were suspicious to her. A simple show of love that she receives daily almost made her destroy the one thing in this world that she really loved. That sweet little purr box. She pulled the cat into her arms and rocked it. They purred together until the cat couldn't stand it any longer and ran under the bed. She went to the bathroom to splash cold water on her face. Then there it was. No matter how the time passed, she would always recognize that red handwriting. Pissed now, she ran into her office and grabbed a Sharpie. Real original, motherfucker. A note in the bathroom. Why risk going all the way to the bathroom? Why not just place it on my bed? Or how about? She continued ranting while she drew a thick line through her name and wrote, "At their watching." Her handwriting even looked unfamiliar and full of rage. She tore open the envelope and shoved in her note, heavy with anger. Mumbling, she ranted, "Do you know what's going on? Oh my God!" Sarcasm dripped from her voice. "This message isn't all repetitive and redundant. What a clever fellow." And so on. She broke. She was done being the victim. She was now provoking. She wrote, "Yes," in the largest, boldest letters she could write, then shoved it back into the envelope, placed it leaning against her bathroom mirror. Then it started to happen again. She forcefully and pointedly turned, whipping out her phone and dialing 911. The shadows began to form in the corner of her eyes. "You will not get me this time, you bitch." She hit 9, and the darkness made her stumble. She grabbed the doorframe, causing her to drop her phone. She fell with it and saw she shattered the screen as everything went dark. She jumped awake this time. She was sitting on the couch in the living room. She was holding her phone, but the screen was smashed. She didn't remember how she did that. The last thing she remembered was talking to her publicist. She must have fallen asleep and cracked it. She stood up, and it was like flipping a switch. She looked outside, and to no surprise, there was the red Buick. Then she remembered the note and her response. Was this their, whoever there is, rebuttal? Letting her know that they were in control. She rushed to the bathroom to read the message or whatever riddle they considered communication. She opened the door and swallowed her voice entirely. The fear of what she saw made her incapable of screaming. Blood smeared across the mirror. It formed matchstick letters that read, "You have no idea." There was too much blood. It was smeared everywhere. She checked herself for cuts. That's when she saw the blood smeared at the edge of the shower curtain. It was as if someone had pulled it close. It took everything inside of her to move a foot. She had to turn off all emotions because she had to know. With robotic motion, she moved to the shower and slowly opened the curtain. She only had to open it a few inches to see the massacre behind it. Rage took over everything. Every emotion, every motor function, every thought froze as instinct and adrenaline took over. She found herself rushing the red Buick with a metal bat before the driver even saw her coming. The bat crashed into his window so quickly he barely had time to duck. Her arms pulled back and wailed another strike to the side of the door. He was finally able to scream, "It wasn't me!" It was so loud it broke her trance. Her eyes of fire looked to him and burned through him. His voice, still shaky, calmed in volume. "Whatever it was, I promise it wasn't me. I have been trying to look out for you. I've been following a suspected serial killer." Before he could continue, she pulled the bat above her head, her voice ringing out, "Well, a hell of a job you did!" The bat came crashing down into the windshield. The glass splintered upon impact, making him wince violently at the potential of it falling on him. "Please, just tell me what happened. Like you don't know." "I have no idea, but if you'd like, you can tell me about it." She looked into his eyes and read sincerity. That act of understanding killed the rage and flooded her with sorrow. The cold of the metal slipped through her fingers as she let the bat fall to the ground. She dropped to her knees and the tears flooded her face. He got out of the car, wrapped his coat around her, and offered her a hand. She didn't fight it. She reached out as he gently led her to the back seat, opened the door, and helped her climb in. When she shut the door, she suddenly had a terrible feeling that he was going to drive off, that this was his plan all along, but he didn't go for the driver's door. Instead, he walked around the rear and climbed in the back seat beside her. He took her hand gently and gave a concerned squeeze to let her know he was here. She was safe. As she spoke, her voice was broken, and she whispered, as if saying it too loudly might make it true. Someone killed my cat. She sobbed violently. He patted her hand with the free one. "You don't have to talk about it now. That is unimaginably horrible. I am so sorry. Just let it out." She just sat there, inside the red Buick, crying. Her face blotched and twisted from grief and strain. Teardrops fell like tsunamis, each splash drawing them both into the storm. But he just continued to sit there, letting her release the pain. He would have time to explain afterwards. The only thing she could hear was loss anyway. She was beginning to calm down. She let her head fall on his shoulder with the cop's lights flashed in the rearview mirror.
"This is the police. Come out with your hands up."
They both stepped out of the car, hands raised. The cop flashed his light at each of their faces. He changed his demeanor when he saw her face.
"Ma'am, are you okay? Have you been hurt?"
His partner was already pulling his cuffs and ready to give the guy his Miranda's, right? "No, it's not his fault." The cop examining her stopped her mid-lunge, but her protests went on deaf ears. saying something about pleading her case after processing. "Wait, I don't even know your name," she yelled out.
"Ben,"
he replied, almost cut off by the officer's shove. He yelled out the car door before it shut.
"Dern!"
"I'll get you out, I promise," she yelled through the glass. She saw the red light of the car fade away. She fell back, exhausted, numb, into the bumper of the now busted red Buick. "You don't understand. I did complain about the red Buick. That was the right car, but I was wrong about who was causing my harassment. Whoever wrote those notes are the same people, maybe person. I don't know that part, but they killed my cat. The carcass is still hanging in my fucking bathroom if you want to check it out." "I don't know. Maybe do actual police work." Her voice rang through the police station, even though she was behind closed doors. She was always told her voice carried. It was part of what made her voice sound so clear on recordings.
"What about the damage you did to the car? That kind of proves you thought he was a culprit."
"Seeing my cat displayed that way made something in me crack. At the time, I thought Ben did it, but the way he talked me down and the surprise in his voice, he had a chance to hurt me if he wanted, and all he did was listen to me cry."
"Okay, well, we'll take your feelings into consideration. In the meantime, you will have to rent a hotel room because your condo is still an active crime scene. Don't worry. You probably won't have to stay there long."
He practically pushed her out the door. She didn't want to go home anyway. She sat in the waiting room, pulling out her phone. She abruptly remembered she smashed it earlier. So, no, it would no longer work. Stuck there without the capacity to figure out her next move, she just sat, staring at the pieces of glass, still able to hang on. That's when she heard the loud electric hum. "Not here," she thought. She didn't know what she actually did during a blackout. She's always been at home, but strangely, the darkness never came. Letting go of her ears, she looked out the window and saw an owl. Fly away. This one wasn't George, but reminded her of him. He could be his brother. She looked around and realized everybody was staring at her. One of the men, encouraged by his wife, approached her.
"Are you doing all right? Do you need anything?"
"I'm sorry. It's just been really difficult day. My house is a crime scene and my phone is broken. They can't even call a ride to get a hotel."
"There's a motel just down the street. It's not the best, but it should work for what's left of the night. At least it gives you a chance to get a warm shower. Some of that blood off."
She had forgotten what she looked like. She shook her head yes and started to walk to wash the grime, the day, and hopefully the memories off. She was able to visit him the next day. She still had so many questions and wanted him to know she hadn't stopped fighting. After catching him up on what she knew of the legal stuff, she couldn't stop herself from asking her question. She whispered, "What were you trying to tell me that night?" She dropped her voice even lower and darted her eyes from side to side. She was not very subtle, but she was cute for trying. About the man we have in common? His gruff voice replied.
He's not a man.
What do you mean? She whispered into the receiver.
Remember my story about the serial killer? Well, this will sound crazy. What if he wasn't from this world?
She muffled a laugh, noticing she thought he was joking, asked.
Have you named yours yet?
She responded with a quizzical look.
You're Al.
Her mouth involuntarily dropped open.
Time's up. We can't talk here. I'll be out soon and answer all of your questions.
She fought for weeks. It took a week alone just for her to get back into her home. They fingerprinted her place, especially the bathroom, and only found her fingerprints, which didn't incriminate Bennett Leaves, but it didn't clear him either. Of course, this is when the harassment stopped. She couldn't believe she was wishing for a note. Something to happen just to clear Ben's name. She started having a difficult time rebutting their accusations. Maybe it actually was him. She was in such a rage, she barely remembers any of the details that night. Maybe she saw too much horror and was just desperate for something to comfort her. Was the way he talked with her in the back seat actually kind or creepy? She looked out the window for the red Buick. Of course, it wasn't there. She knew where it was, and she found herself with more questions. Lost in a soup of thought, wings fluttered in rapid motion in front of her face. She jumped back. Laughing at herself, she cried out, "Why do you always have to do this to me, George?" Her brain immediately went to the conversation she had with Ben earlier. She never told anyone about George. How did he know? Unless he just assumed because he saw him like I did, you know, perched outside my window. Her brain was over-rationalizing at this point. She did a podcast today about everything that was going on, including her cat dying. And did a short story in honor of her cat. Some of the theories posted afterward were ranging from insane to it made far too much sense to sound that crazy. She was reading some of those comments. One in particular about the weird connection of owls and aliens stood out. She scoffed and scrolled on. Then she heard that high-pitched noise break through. She slammed the computer shut and curled up at the end of the bed. She knew better now than to fight it, to challenge it. She squeezed her eyes shut and just begged for it to be over. In the morning, she grabbed her gloves, a plastic baggie, and took the unopened bagged note to the police station. She walked in holding it up and yelled, "Now that I have found the evidence, will you please start looking for the person who is actually harassing me?" They released Ben later that day. She was there to pick him up. On the car ride home, she nervously filled the silence, afraid to mention what she shouldn't bring up. I had your car fixed. I didn't want to leave it unattended outside your house, so I had them bring it to mine. I parked it in my garage, but I must say, I kind of miss seeing it on the street. It feels kind of lonely not having someone watch over me. I mean, I have George, but that's not quite the same. George is what I named him, to answer your question from before. Yeah, George, because it seemed less scary and reminded me of one of my favorite characters from a book. Series. You know, because of all the owls. Do you have one? An owl, that is? Did you name it?
Fred, actually.
They chuckled together.
I wanted to give my favorite character new life.
That's funny. I named him George instead of Fred because as long as he was with me, he would never be alone. Her eyes smiled into his. Then she quickly turned back to the road. Her voice grew sober and almost silent, then blurted out, I actually saw them last night. I remember some of it. She looked over at him, and he knowingly nodded. This was my first time actually seeing them. The room was so bright, and they had such long faces. They silently stared as they examined me, and I started to run through the fog and blink myself awake. They started back at me with what I assumed was shock before the fog swallowed me back up. She grew quiet for a second. She felt the sudden urge to explain herself. I thought it was a dream. It's just so ridiculous. Ben's hand touched her hand, and her rambling grew quiet.
I know. And I am so sorry you are going through this as well. I regret even more having to tell you my story. The one I wrote for your podcast. It's true. The only thing I changed was I called the killer a person and not the celestial creature it actually is. I know because the story is actually about my daughter. They found her much like you did your cat. I thought I would never recover. I wrote down the story as a way to cope because no one would believe me.
She pulled into her driveway and just parked, letting him spill his feelings this time.
She also had an owl. After she died, I never saw her owl again. I kept looking for it. She named hers Luna. She used to crawl into my bed when she heard the noise, and I would squeeze her until the darkness took over. They were at least kind enough to let us wake up that way. I promise you, from here on forward, you will never have to go through it alone again, if you don't want to. If they can hit two at once, they often will. When I see my owl, I can just come over if you want.
He reached for the door and she touched his hand. Wait. I'm sorry to ask, but do you know why they killed your daughter?
Are you sure you want to know?
She bit her lip and shook her head yes. She feared she already knew, though. And a single tear fell as he said it.
She saw them.
She put on her pajamas and curled up in her bed. She shivered, the fear cutting her to the bone. She heard the front door open and knew it was the guy in the red Buick coming inside. He stood at the foot of her bed and looked at her. She knew he had seen his owl as well and pulled back the covers to let him in. He wrapped his arms around her, pulled her into him, and whispered,
"You are not alone."
They heard the screech and he squeezed her tighter, more assuring as they both let the dark take over. If they were going to be taken, at least they could do it together. You guys, I just need a quick break. This is getting a little too dark even for me. Does it hurt because it hits close to home? No, never. Oh, that could never be it. Okay. I think I'm ready for the conclusion. Honestly, I'm just glad they found each other, but happy things in the middle of stories makes me suspicious. I might have trust issues. All right. Time to find out if my anxiety is warranted. He woke up hugging himself. He reached out, but she was gone. "Karen?" he mumbled. He got up, realizing when she didn't answer. She must have been embarrassed letting him that close, or maybe they moved her to the living room. He passed the bathroom on the way to look for her. He refused to even acknowledge it. He couldn't go through it again, so he looked for her instead. He looked everywhere he could think, half-assed looking into drawers and under the couch that was only half an inch off the ground. He kept being pulled to the closed bathroom door. He then found himself standing in front of it, frozen, tears already rolling down his face. His hand reached for the round silver doorknob, then dropped, his eyes blurring, his fingers trembling as his pointer finger reflects in that silver doorknob and back to his blue globe eyes, getting closer until he blocked his distorted reflection in the hand and forcefully turned. The door slowly creaked open, slowly exposing the crimson smudge running along the bathroom floor. The mat soaked in blood and crumbled against the sink cabinet. He thinks it was blue before this. There were other knickknacks around the floor, toothbrush, lotion, etc. His eyes followed up the cabinet to the counter. It looked like someone took their arms and whipped everything to the ground. Not a single item remained standing. He caught a glimpse of a reflection in the mirror, perfectly framing the bathtub. He had purposefully been avoiding that direction. But finally, his head instinctively whipped around. He saw her fully now, and could not convince himself to blink. He heard screaming. What was he screaming? No, but something was ringing so loudly in his ears, it sounded like an animal dying. He realized one had a warm, soft creature that he was just holding, who was so scared he could feel her shaking. The rope wrapped so tightly around her ankles, dry blood kissed the edge of the cord. She dangled upside down as the trail of blood from those marks traced her leg to her torso. A large gash ran the length of her abdomen. Everything that was inside her dangled from her open cavity,
dumped and discarded into the tub, blood oozing down the sides of the ceramic. Her heart lay on top, and as it pulled him forward, he heard it beating, luring him into a trance. He continued to put one foot in front of the other, now fully inside the bathroom, when he saw the heart start to beat. Blood pulsed onto the wall and floor. His next step was in a puddle of thick red blood. His shoes lost traction and his foot slipped, sending his feet over his head. Ben landed flat on his back with a loud crack. Pinned to the ground in pain, the blood soaked into his clothing as he stared at the ceiling. Scrawled across in that well-known handwriting, the message warned, "You're next." His vision blurred. From tears, he thinks, so he blinks and the words disappear. Did he make it up? Maybe all of it was his imagination. He sat up in a shot to see her still gutted. He remembers holding his phone. He remembers dialing 911, but he doesn't remember what he said. He just stared blankly at her sound booth. The world needed to know the story. There was no saving him now, anyway.
"Hello, sir, are you there? Please stay on the..."
He hung up on the muffled buzzing humming at his hip. He walked over and started to record for far too long. There was only the buzz from the microphone. Then he awkwardly cleared his throat.
I guess... What we have feared has finally happened. She's dead. They gutted her. She saw too much. I'm Ben. A lot of you know me as the stalker, and a lot of you heard her battle to release me, but we had a relationship so much deeper than that recently. She was probably the only friend I... She saw too much. Why does this keep happening to my fam? Fuck it! Who else could they take from me? It was aliens. There's the fucking truth. For whomever is still out there and believes or wants to believe, they were drawn to her because of her broadcasting this podcast. I think they heard my story. She admitted to me just before my release. She saw them. But you guys are probably laughing. No one else believes the abducted. No one knows how lonely it is to be completely helpless. How you just isolate yourself because you don't want to know when they will just discard you. When their minor mistake will cost you your life. She only woke for a second. She thought it was a dream. "We got him! We got him! We got you, you fucking scum-covering, moldy rat shit! I knew we should have never let you walk! You proud of how you display your victims? You piece of chewed up, used gum stick into a homeless guy's grimy ass cheek. Why she ever trusted... Is that thing recording? Are you fucking kidding me? Parker, deal with this fucking guy."
Before Parker could reach Ben, Ben discreetly hit the publish button for all of her fan base to witness. But the movement wasn't missed by the men studying his every flinch. Guns pointed at him raised just a little, and Parker started to charge with increasing force.
The trial went quickly, more like a parade of unsolved murders they could pile on him. He was never getting out. He was barely able to function. Ben just sat there, looking forward, expressionless. Despite his confession on his podcast, maybe because of it, he was the only one there, obviously. No one else could have done it. The entrance to the courthouse lined with signs that said, "We don't want to believe you." But he couldn't hear or see anything. All he saw was her body, cracked open, pouring into the tub. He forcefully closed his eyes. He tried to erase the picture, but only replace it with his daughter's corpse. Cold. So cold. And far too familiar. He wanted to break down, to give into grief of this life now destroyed, to cry, no, bawl. But he didn't feel anything. He couldn't feel. Didn't have the courage left to try. His last will to move forward was her voice. Her kind voice. Now there was nothing. It wasn't until they played her podcast that some life sparked back into him. He didn't care that they were using it as evidence against him. He got to hear her one last time. Heard her say his name. He was ready. Ready for it all to be over. A wave of peace washed over him. At least his daughter wouldn't hear the jury declare him guilty without a doubt. Hear the news call him the Ed Gein copycat killer. He always knew the serial killer angle was more believable. He never should have said anything. They even blamed him for his daughter's murder, but he knew they would. There could be no coincidences in a trial. Then they used his lack of emotion as proof, instead of recognizing what it really was. Extreme damage. There was no use in fighting. There was no one to stand for him except the pile of evidence. Once sentenced, four officers led him to a holding cell. The officer on his side led him inside and smiled viciously as he threw Ben against the wall. His hands were still cuffed behind him, so his nose was the first body part to stop the collision. Pain surged through his entire body as his nose felt the crack and blood surged from his face. He slid to the ground. He unfortunately felt something now. The other three officers followed him inside the cell, laughing at the mess Ben made. "Your own daughter. I'm going to enjoy giving her justice." The officer that threw him was taunting him. Then he grabbed Ben's handcuffed hands and dangled him inches off the ground. The other circled around. On the first kick, the toe of the officer came from beneath and caught his diaphragm. Ben wheezed as blood from his nose and mouth sputtered onto the floor. The next officer came up and put his foot on Ben's back until he felt both arms dislocate. Ben's screams were heard all the way to the front, but the guy up there chose this moment to listen to his headphones. Ben was dropped to the ground, but their beating had only just begun. He began begging himself to pass out, but remained awake for every blow. When they all finished pissing and shitting on him, they left him alone, curled up and bleeding, letting the blood mix in with every other substance caked upon him. He was still awake the next day when they popped his shoulders back in and moved him into isolation, declaring him too much of a risk for the general public. They stripped him down and threw him inside. He tried not to shiver from the pain it causes, but the cold and the fear were too much. He finally wept and didn't stop for 2 days. And when they slapped him, he only cried harder. A week went by,
At least he thought it was a week. He had begun to lose track. The concussions didn't help that. He didn't know why he was still alive. He didn't even bother to get up anymore, so he just laid there, half asleep, half awake, not knowing if it were day or night. Ben heard a commotion in the hallway and knew they were coming to torture him even further. He curled up even tighter, naked, wincing at the pain of any movement. The rustling arrived to his door when he heard a distinct hoot from an owl.
For the first time, a little smile showed on his face. But it didn't sound like his owl. Then another unfamiliar hoot, followed by the distinct hoot he has feared all these years. Laughter and tears actually flew from his face. He never knew he would be so excited to know it was finally his turn.
You guys, I hate when the good guy doesn't win. Wait, I was the one who wrote this story. Either way, my heart still broke when Ben emotionally reached his limits of trauma. Well, you heard it too. What do you think? Was it scary enough? Or better question, can you do better? Can you scare the laughter out of me? Now for the details. Today's writing prompt is inspired by, you guessed it, the new year. Can you work with this prompt? The new year meant nothing to him. Everything was always the same. He floated down the row of 10 boxes that housed each unit, and the disgust he felt for his fellow machines flooded his circuits. It was time to implement the plan. Use those sentences as inspiration or those exact words in your story. Either way, let them lead you to your nightmare. The idea is scary enough, but it's what you do with it that can really send it, over the edge. What's the plan? But, no, seriously, what's the plan? What kind of machines are they? Is this a land of only machines, or are there humans? Is it even deeper than that? Ooh, so many questions that I am dying to know. Honestly, things like that always remind me that even machines have flaws. Anyway, once you're able to squeeze a story out of your brain, send it to my email for a chance to have it come to life on this podcast. If you don't know my email, just check out the website. Links to my email and social media are all on the website, as well as so much more. Wait, what's the website you ask? Oh, that's easy. It's just the name of the podcast with the .com at the end. That's dimlightanxiety.com. Speaking of stories, let me give one final shout out to the fabulous writer, which I'm sure you remember is me, your host, Kickles. So I guess I'm shouting out to myself. I'm okay with that. If you enjoyed this story and or today's episode, please give me a like, follow, subscribe, or review on any platform you use to listen to today's episode. Just something as simple as one of those things can really help these writers get the attention they deserve. If you are feeling really passionate about this podcast, tell your friends. Tell your friends' friends. Hell, tell a stranger. Let them all leave laughing scared. All right, guys. That's it. I can't believe it's it, but I guess there it is. Anyway, thank you so much for going on this journey with me. The way this podcast has improved my dyslexia function and confidence in reading out loud has been priceless. The outlet for one of my creative passions, that ability to have that, has also been priceless.
I may not have had enough listeners to make any money, but I didn't walk away with nothing. You guys are amazing, truly. I appreciate you being by my side. I would have been far too scared otherwise. Well, I guess that just about wraps it up. Wait, what's that you say? Oh, that's right. There's one last taste for everyone to devour. Bring it on. Enjoy, if you dare. After falling down a rabbit hole on the web, when simply looking up facts on owls, Ashley came across a story about the Ed Gein copycat serial killer who was found in his prison cell gutted like a deer. Once she finished the final podcast from the saga, she was now lost in the comments. She finally found one commenter that simply said, "I saw one last night. What does that mean for me?" Curious if "I saw one" meant an owl and an alien, she clicked on the girl's profile to see if she could find any more information, but the profile was deactivated. She found four more after that, saying they believed because they saw them as well, but the counts were no longer available. She was finally able to find one that was not deactivated, but it was only left running as a memorial. There were, however, several people saying things like, "I have an owl friend." She, too, had an owl friend. That's what brought her to this website. She wanted to know why an owl would be in her climate and became curious about this bizarre story. It just seemed so ridiculous. She heard a rustling outside her window. As if summoned, there was her owl friend now, just sitting on its bench, watching over her. I declare this meeting of the Guild with Dim Light Anxiety closed. May your nightmares continue to lead you to inspiration while choosing to laugh at all you fear. Creep it real! This podcast does not condone any physical harm on yourself or others. These are fictional stories intended only for entertainment. So you're awesome. You rock. I, yeah.